the world tomorrow. Herbert W. Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
Well, greetings, friends. This is Herbert W. Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. What's the real meaning of the fact that today it's possible to lay waste an entire continent, yes, even our continent, in one night and without warning? Tomorrow, it will be possible for some mad, irresponsible dictator to annihilate human life from off this planet. Now, is there any connection between those frightful world conditions in amid which we live today and the gospel of Jesus Christ? World-famous scientists have said that nothing but world government can save the human race now from extinction. Do you know that the very gospel of Christ was world government? Some people can't see what world government has to do with the gospel. Why, world government, they say, that's talking about politics, not religion. My friends, I'm not preaching politics. I'm not concerned with politics. But listen, when Jesus Christ came preaching his gospel, his enemy shouted, "You're preaching politics." And they crucified him for that very accusation. I want you to listen a little bit. Let's read a little bit of the history of the very crucifixion of Christ and see why Jesus Christ was put to death. It's in the 18th chapter of John. Do you have your Bible? Do you have it open? Always have your Bible open when I come on the air. I want you to see this with your own eyes. Jesus was before Pilate on trial for his very life. His enemies, and they were religious leaders, not political, but religious leaders, and they wanted him crucified. But they didn't want to crucify him themselves. It was illegal for them to do it. Remember that the Jewish people of that day were under Roman jurisdiction. Pilate was a Roman ruler, a Gentile Roman ruler, not a Jew. And so Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. That's verse 33, the 18th chapter of John's Gospel. John 18, verse 33. Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and he called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou king of the Jews?" Jesus had been preaching a kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he proclaimed that he was to be the king of that kingdom. And that's what they were accusing him of. And so Pilate said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, this world, my friends, is this civilization, this pattern or system of society, this age. In some places in the New Testament, the word world, when it talks about the end of the world and this world, comes from the Greek word aeon, which means age, this time period, this age. In other places, it comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means pattern or method of society. This pattern of living, the customs and the ways that we have set up as a pattern on this earth. That is the world. Now, the two are not synonymous, and yet they absolutely run together, because this pattern, this way, this system of civilization is to endure only for the duration that is known as this age. Now, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, this age, this present time, then would my servants fight," because all the kingdoms in this world are war-making and fighting kingdoms. Jesus' kingdom is the kingdom of God. It's not a war-making, it's not a fighting kingdom at all. And he said, if it were one of this world's kingdoms, it would fight. But it is not one of this world's kingdoms, it's not even of this time. But Pilate didn't understand what he meant by that any more than people today. You talk about the end of the world, and they think you mean the end of the existence of the earth. That isn't what it means at all. You know, a college professor not so long ago, I believe he was fired from his job because he said something about the end of the world. And people thought he meant the end of the Earth's existence. Well, perhaps that's even what he meant. He may have been completely misled. I don't remember the details. But anyway, it created quite a furore. And the biblical meaning of the end of the world is not the end of the Earth or its existence at all. Why, my friends, the Bible says that the wicked shall be as though they had not been, but the righteous shall inherit the earth and dwell therein forever. The Bible says this earth is going to be here forever. It does speak about a certain change that's coming on the earth, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, but it's going to be a renewed surface, that's all. It'll be the same general earth that's going on forever. Now Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence," that's from this time, from here, from this place, this situation here. "And Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest I am a king. Thou sayest I am a king." That was a very emphatic way of saying, "I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Did you ever read back in the very first chapter of Luke why Jesus came into this world? The angel said to his mother Mary, "Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom," his government, his kingdom, "there shall be no end." Oh, Jesus was born to be a king. And he preached about a kingdom. He didn't preach, my friends, what you think of today, most of you at least, as Christianity or as the gospel. You know, a lot of people today, if they would hear Jesus Christ, if he were here today, they would write him letters and say, "I don't hear you preaching very much about grace. I don't hear you preaching what I think is the gospel." Well, where did grace come from if it wasn't from his preaching? He did preach about it, and so do I. But because we preach the government of God, some people think, well, that isn't what we've heard, and they think what we've heard from men must be the right gospel. Listen, my friends. Listen to what Jesus preached. Listen to why they crucified him. He said, "To this end, to be a king, was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now then, drop down in the next chapter, the 19th chapter, in the 8th verse. John 19, verse 8. "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid." Well, they had said that he now made himself the Son of God. "And he went into the judgment hall, and he saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou?" That is, "Where did you come from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. "And then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee?" He was trying to impress on Jesus how much power he had in his government. Why, Jesus had all the power there was. God had created all things by Jesus Christ. You know, standing there in front of Pilate was Pilate's very maker, and now Pilate was boasting about how much power he had. What did Jesus answer? Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above." And that was his father, and he had come from above, and he and his father were one. Yes, he voluntarily gave himself for you and for me, my friends. Pilate had no power except it was granted by God. Who is the great ruler? Whose power is it to grant power to men or to take it away from them? It's God's. Who is the supreme ruler of the universe? It's God. You know, my friends, that's a matter of government. You can't know the truth about God. You can't know who God is and take government out of it. Why, government is the whole thing in your Bible from beginning to end. Right in the beginning, God commanded the man Adam. But God had also said, as he revealed later to Israel, that he sent before us obedience or disobedience, right or wrong, life or death. And we have to choose, and God himself rules in his ruling that we must choose whether we shall obey or whether we will disobey, and God therefore must allow us to disobey, which he does. But he is the ruler. That's the thing people don't understand, why today they think that God is no ruler. They think God may have created something once upon a time, but he isn't concerned with how we live, what we do. He doesn't rule us. We can rule ourselves. And that's just what you're all doing. And my friends, you're never going to learn salvation or anything until you learn to forsake your way of ruling yourself, the customs of the people, and the way men are doing. The customs, the traditions that have been set up. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and return to God, because God's ways and God's thoughts are not ours. God is the supreme ruler, and God has decreed that for 6,000 years we can rule ourselves or be ruled by him. As we choose, he has ordained we must choose. You know, a lot of people just can't understand that. You don't hear much of that today, do you? Well, Jesus answered, you couldn't have any power at all if God hadn't granted it to you. And God was his Father, and he was one with God. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. Pilate was really afraid now. He was a little superstitious. He thought this man might be from above and from God. He didn't know what to think. He wanted to get out of it if he could. He was a politician. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Now notice, my friends, how they tried to accuse him of politics. He had preached the government of God, the kingdom of God, the rule of God. And they said it was politics. Now I want you to notice, they said, if you release him, you're not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. He's speaking against the government. He's trying to overthrow the government. It's politics. So they said. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat down in the judgment seat in the place called the pavement in the Hebrew tongue, Gabbatha. He was afraid, and so then he turned Jesus over to them, because when they brought Caesar into it, Pilate was afraid he would be dethroned from his own power of governorship there. And then he became very frightened. You know, some people think that I talk about politics when I preach the very gospel that Jesus did, my friends. If you're to be saved, if you know anything about salvation, what are you to be saved for? For the kingdom of God. Jesus preached the kingdom of God, my friends. Why is it that we don't want to hear his message? We merely want to talk about him. Jesus said, many shall come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, but deceiving the many. My friends, that's happened. Many believe on Christ, but they don't believe Christ. Yes, Jesus proclaimed and he taught the gospel of the kingdom of God. But did he command his ministers now in building his church to preach the same gospel? You know, Jesus said, I will build my church. And that church is the New Testament church. Now, what should be the gospel in the church today, the New Testament church? Notice. Let's just notice the scriptures real quickly. Turn to Luke 9. Luke 9, verses 1 and 2. And you read this. Then called Jesus his 12 disciples together, and he sent them to preach what? The kingdom of God. That's his 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. And the church is founded on the very foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. He instructed them, and here is the very foundation of the church. He said, preach the kingdom of God. Now, Luke 10, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also in addition to those 12. And he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself should come. Therefore he said unto them, heal the sick that are therein. Don't believe in that today very many, do they? Heal the sick that are therein. Yes, he put healing in his church, my friends. But he didn't put fanaticism in there, and today I think in some quarters we might find some fanaticism. Well, let me tell you, any fanaticism is not of God, and it isn't the way of Christ. What do people do? If they take anything, they want to go clear to the opposite extreme and turn it over into fanaticism and do it their own way, their human way, or a pagan way, and not the way that Jesus did. Well, if you want to know the truth about healing, write for our booklet on that subject. We have a special booklet on that subject. Is it in the New Testament, church? Does God heal the sick today? Or was that just something for Jesus and to prove he was the Christ? Now, maybe a lot of you are very sick. There's sickness in nearly every home and every family, and God is concerned about it. But a lot of people try to get healed by God, and they don't know how, and they don't know the conditions, and they wonder why they're not healed. Now, did Jesus go around holding healing services? Did he make a great circus of it and a parade, my friends? If you want to know the truth, write in for this booklet. If you want to know whether you can be healed today and under what terms and conditions, write for this booklet. The booklet on healing, that's all you need. There's no charge. I'll announce the mailing address at the close of this broadcast. You better have an envelope and pen or pencil will do, and have it ready so that when I announce it again at the close of the program, you'll have it. Now, always have your Bible ready. If you don't have it, go get it right now and also get that envelope, won't you, and have it ready. Now, he sent this other 70 out and told them to heal the sick, and he said, say unto them, the people they were preaching to, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you, the government of God, and also it's the family of God. We can be born into the kingdom of God and become a member of the family, the nation, the kingdom of God. It's a nation. It's a family grown great into a nation so great it becomes a kingdom. But a kingdom is also a government, and God the Father is the one who does the ruling at the top of the family, at the head of the kingdom. Now, in Jesus' prayer that is so commonly called the Lord's Prayer, although it's only a sample prayer, the real Lord's Prayer, my friends, is in the, you find it in the 17th chapter of John. But what is called the Lord's Prayer is merely a sample. He didn't mean for us to memorize it and repeat it at all. He merely wanted to show us the principle of how a real earnest prayer ought to be phrased. And in that prayer, he taught us to pray after this manner, Thy kingdom come, God's kingdom come. Now, what were the very next words? Thy will be done, because God's will is the way God governs his kingdom, by his will. And when his will is done, then he is ruling and we're in his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, when Jesus taught them to pray, thy kingdom come, and said that the church was to pray, because that's instruction for us today, to pray that the kingdom of God will come, then it surely isn't here if we're to pray for it to come, is it? A lot of people think the kingdom of God came 1900 years ago. Well, my friend, just keep listening every single day, every night to this program. Open your Bible. Write in for the Bible Correspondence Course, the Ambassador College Correspondence Course of Bible Study, if you'll devote a half hour every day to the study of your Bible, and you'll come to understand your Bible and know things you never knew before. You know that most of you have been believing exactly the opposite of what the Bible says. I mean, you've been believing that the Bible says exactly the opposite of what it does say. And, of course, a lot of you have been believing interpretations or human interpretations. Now, the Bible shouldn't be interpreted. You don't interpret other books. You don't need to interpret the Bible. Just believe it. It's plain. And you can understand it, if you will. Well, he preached, Thy kingdom come. So it isn't here yet. But he taught us to pray for it to come. For his kingdom, and that alone, my friend, shall bring peace and happiness to this sin-sick, this war-weary earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Father's will. The Father's government, then, on earth. Now, what gospel did the early evangelists preach? In first sending out the faith once delivered unto the saints, how did the early church carry out the great commission of carrying the gospel to all of the world. I want you to notice Philip preaching at Samaria, Acts the 8th chapter and the 12th verse, Acts 8 verse 12. But when they, up there at Samaria, when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning what? The kingdom of God. Is that politics? My friends, that's the gospel. When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women, when he preached what some people think is politics. They were baptized. This is in your Bible, Acts the 8th chapter, the 12th verse. Philip preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, what about the Apostle Paul? A lot of people say, well, Jesus preached under the Old Covenant, but Paul preached the gospel for us Gentiles. Well, are we Gentiles? Don't be too sure. You better write in for our booklet on the United States and prophecy. Say, listen, let me tell you something. Don't write in and say, send all those books that you talked about on a broadcast on a certain day. I've explained this before, that I won't know at what time or what day this particular program was on your particular station in your part of the country. And so I can't remember that. And you must ask for these booklets when I mention them by name. So you must always have a pencil and notepaper handy when I come on the air and your Bible. Then you can jot down notes. You have a pencil or a pen. Have something that you can write with. And have plenty of paper. And also have your Bible. Turn and read these things in your Bible and make a note of it. Make a note of what I say and of the scriptures that I tell you to turn to and what I'm telling you about those scriptures. And then you can study it yourself later. That's the way to get so much more out of it. Now, I imagine that a lot of you just never thought of that before, but that's a good suggestion, so I'm going to pass it on to you. You do it. If you don't understand that we're not Gentiles, write in about our booklet, and for our booklet, United States in Prophecy. There is no story of fiction that you ever read that is so strange, so absorbing, so packed with suspense as this gripping story of the Bible. It makes the Bible the most interesting book you ever picked up when you come to understand it. And this will open it to your understanding. Write in for that booklet, United States in Prophecy. I'll announce it again at the close of the program. So that you can understand, this is talking about us and our people. All right, let's hurry along. Now, the Apostle Paul, did he bring a different message to Gentiles? Why, no. Listen, the 20th chapter of Acts, verses 25, and then back to verse 21. Acts, the 20th chapter, turn to it, jot this down on that little piece of notepaper you have. All right, Paul says, I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. Did Paul teach repentance? Yes. Repentance is toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there is the gospel. Why, my friends, there is the same gospel Jesus preached. There is the same gospel Peter preached. Jesus came preaching the gospel. That's the good news of the kingdom of God and saying, repent ye. And believe the gospel. Repentance is toward God and faith is toward Christ. And that's what Paul did. He came preaching the kingdom of God. And my friends, that's exactly what he preached after he turned completely away from the Jews and turned to Gentiles only. Now, I'm coming to that in just a minute. Well, let's get to it right now. I want you to notice the gospel that Paul preached to the Gentiles after he had turned completely away from the Jews, and it's in Acts 28, verses 30 and 31. I think it's verse 29, where you see here that Paul turned clear away from the Jews, and now he was preaching only to Gentiles. It says here, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, or hired hall, we'd say today, and received all that came in unto him. You know, he didn't go from house to house. He received all that came to him. The one place that's mentioned that Paul went from house to house. Now, in case you think I don't know the Bible, some of you think I don't understand the Bible. What do you think I'd be doing preaching clear around the world to people after 50 years if I didn't understand what's in the Bible, my friends? Well, I won't say. Now, someone might be doing it that doesn't understand the Bible, but I can assure you that I do. Now, it's mentioned in the 20th chapter of Acts that Paul had gone from house to house, but there he's talking to the ministers, the elders that he had appointed as the elders in the church at Ephesus. And he had gone from house to house among those that he had called as ministers, teaching them. But my friends, to go from house to house to strangers, Jesus commanded his disciples, go not from house to house. Someone wrote me recently and wanted to know if we do like the Bible commands and go from house to house. Now, I'd like to know where the Bible commands you to go from house to house, because it doesn't. You see, I happen to know the Bible a little better than some of the critics that write me letters. And some critics write me letters and try to teach me the Bible. They think I don't know it. Well, perhaps they should be on the air. But anyway, I can assure you, my friends, that I do. Now, Paul said to the Gentiles, he dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, received all that came in unto him, preaching what? To Gentiles. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the King of the kingdom, and he brought that message, the kingdom of God. Now, lastly, what gospel did Jesus say should be preached for today? You know, all of the Bible foretold apostasy, that they would reject that gospel. That Jesus said they would accept him, that they would tell the world that he is the Christ, but they would deceive the people. How? By preaching another gospel. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. You have to know what the gospel is to believe it. And how can people know, how can they believe a gospel when they don't know what it is, if it isn't preached? But listen, for this last day in a prophecy, Matthew 24, verse 14, speaking of our present, in this day, after the many had been deceived through the years, Jesus said about when the end of this world will come, this gospel of the kingdom, there's the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Now notice, for a witness, not to convert all nations, but for a witness unto all nations. And then, he said, shall the end of this world come. That's what his disciples had asked him about the end of the world. The end of this age. The end of this time. The end of this pattern that men have set up on the earth of civilization. My friends, that gospel has come this very hour into your ears. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God help you to hear and to understand. You know, it's a lot later than most of us seem to think. Never before have world conditions been like they are now. World catastrophes are destined to rock this world in the next few years. You're going to live through these times. Yes, world catastrophes are going to shake this world. And it's all written in advance in Bible prophecy. And the Bible can be understood now. It's the most important thing in your life. Now, I realize that the Bible has not been understood. Prophecies have never been understood till now. Do you know why? You find in the 12th chapter of Daniel, one of these great prophecies, where it says, Daniel couldn't understand even what he was writing, but the angel that was revealing what he wrote to him said, go thy way, Daniel, these words are closed and sealed till the time of the end. Yes, they've been closed and sealed till now. But now, my friends, God's time has come to reveal them. You can know what's going to happen to your nation, what you're going to have to live through in these next few years. So now, this is Herbert W. Armstrong saying goodbye, friends, until tomorrow and daily on most of these stations.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong.